السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Yesterday we discussed regarding Makkah Mukarrama. So in Madina Munawwara, the Khalifa himself, Amir al-Mu'mineen, was considered as the primary governor, because obviously he lived there. He lived in Madina Munawwara, so he governed its affairs as well. When the Khalif, I mean Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, was absent from Madina Munawwara, he went out on some safar, went for Hajj, went to Sham, then he would appoint someone in his place. So at times Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu would appoint Hazrat Zayd bin Sabit radiallahu anhu to look after Madina Munawwara. And Umar radiallahu an also appointed Sayyidina Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu an in charge of Madina Munawwara during his absence on several occasions. I mean, would you appoint someone who you regarding as your opposition to stand in your place while you want? It can never happen. It shows that whatever the Shia are saying is all lies. It's all lies. They had a wonderful relationship. Thus, Umar radiallahu anhu followed the same policy as Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, meaning in their absence they put somebody in charge. You can't just go and then you don't put anybody there to take care of the affairs. Put somebody in charge whenever you are not going to be there. So the governorship of Madina Munawwara held a particular importance in those days for a number of reasons. The main thing was that this was the seat of the Khalifa. Madina Munawwara was the seat of the Khalifa. It was the source of commands and instructions that went out to the various Muslim regions. It was like a headquarters. And the starting point from which the Mujahideen, the different armies set out. Added to that, it was the home of many of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, whom Umar radiallahu anhu prevented them from leaving. Although they also wanted to go, they wanted to go in jihad, they wanted to go, Umar radiallahu anhu didn't allow them. So you all stay here in Madina Munawwara. So there was a lot of wisdom in this. One is, by these senior people being there in Madina Munawwara, he has got trusted people around him. This is very, very important. You find many, many institutes, many, many organizations. Problems happen in that institute or that organization because the very people around the person in charge, they are not loyal and they are not trustworthy. Don't you see in government what is happening? And everywhere you find this problem. Imagine in a house, if the husband can't trust the wife, he can't trust his own children, then what's going to happen? So you must have trustworthy people around you. That's number one. Number two, and this was one of the primary reasons, is that most people, now when they wanted to know about deen, they would come to Madina Munawwara. So you needed these senior sahaba radiallahu anhum to be there, so they are practicing deen as they learned from Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they can teach the people. Whoever comes there, they can teach them. Hence, many seekers of knowledge came to Madina Munawwara, wanting to learn the Quran Sharif, wanting to learn the ahadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wanting to learn the fiqh from the lips of the honorable Sahaba radiallahu anhum themselves. Now if they had to spread out and go everywhere else, where were people going to go and find them now? The third place that was very important at that time was Taif. Now Taif is considered one of the most important Islamic cities
during the Zamana of Umar radiallahu anhu. It supplied tough fighters for jihad. Many, many tough mujahideen came from Taif. Its governor from the time of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam was Usman bin Abil As radiallahu anhu. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu left him in that place, and his governorship continued for 2 years during the Khilafat of Umar radiallahu anhu. After 2 years, Uthman bin Abil As radiallahu an wanted to go in jihad. So he wrote to Umar radiallahu an, he says, see, relieve me of this post now. I want to now go out in jihad. Umar radiallahu an said, as for me, I'll never dismiss you. Well, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam appointed you now. How can we change that now? He said, I'll never dismiss you. If you want, you appoint somebody else to be your deputy while you are gone. But I can't take you out of that post. So you appoint somebody and you can then go in jihad. So he appointed somebody from Taif to take care of the affairs while he was away. Umar radiallahu anhu appointed Uthman as governor of Oman and Bahrain as well. And it is mentioned that when he passed away, Umar radiallahu an appointed Sufyan bin Abdullah Thaqafi as the governor of Taif. He and Umar radiallahu an exchanged letters, many letters between the two of them, regarding the different zakat, etc., that had to be collected from the people, then also the people who were farming. Now, how much they must give of their produce, right? And then from the fruits, how much they must give. Then also those that were farming honey, how they, zakat, etc., must be calculated. So all of this indicates that there was a great deal of agricultural activity taking place in Taif. And it's an ajeeb land that in the middle of the desert, all around is desert, and Taif is so fertile. So there was a lot of activity there during the time of Umar radiallahu anhu. So the city of Taif and the surrounding areas continued to enjoy stability at the time of Umar radiallahu anhu. And you see, the lifestyle of the Arabs, right, is they had their orchards in the outskirts. So many Sahaba radhiyallahu anhum had orchards here in Taif. Right? So when it comes to the summer months, then they used to go away to their orchards. One is they're gonna reap the fruit also, because it's nice and shady, water is sweet. So it was like a retreat for them also. They go away. And up to now, the Arabs still have this. Those that got their farms, they got their khajur plantations, etc., in the summer months, and they go away there. So Taif was considered as one of the major cities of the Islamic State during the Zamana of Umar radiallahu anhu. The other very important place was Yemen. When Umar radiallahu anhu became the Khalifa, Yemen was enjoying a period of stability, and its affairs were taken care of by the governors who were appointed throughout the region. Umar radiallahu anhu approved of the governors whom Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu had appointed. He left them in their place. Ya'la bin Umayyah was one of the governors of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu in Yemen. And in the time of Umar radiallahu anhu also, he became very well known as a governor of Yemen. Historians mention that he was subsequently appointed as governor even in the time of Umar radiallahu anhu, and he remained in that post until Umar radiallahu anhu passed away. Now, for you to remain a governor during the Khilafat of Umar radiallahu anhu, You must know that person has to be of a very high caliber. Many sources mention events which happened to the governor of Yemen, Ya'la bin Umayyah al-Nun. Many people had come with complaints about him, you know. So a couple of times Umar radiallahu anhu called him to Medina Munawara to investigate the complaints, right? But each time, you know, he was found to be in the clear. Sometimes when Umar radiallahu anhu called him away, he would appoint somebody else there in the interim. But he basically remained there till Umar radiallahu anhu passed away. Then Ya'la radiallahu anhu also exchanged letters about matters pertaining to zakat, different sadaqat, etc. And he also quoted that he was one of the governors from whom Umar radiallahu anhu took half of their wealth at the end of the Khilafat. It was mentioned that another of Umar radiallahu anhu's governors in Yemen was Abdullah bin Rabi'a Makhzumi, who was appointed over a limited area of Yemen, which is known as Janad. So there are other people also that were appointed there. So the people of Yemen, they played a very major role in the conquest in the time of Umar radiallahu anhu. They took part in the Futuh al-Sham, the conquest of Sham. Many of the people from Yemen took part in those wars. Then also Iraq, then Misr, also Egypt. Egypt was one of the most difficult wars. And there is a whole write-up in the tafsir with regards to this area. You see, this Gaza and Egypt, they are neighbors. That area there, the people of that area, you see, when Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, his people at that time, you know, they said, no, we want to see Allah Ta'ala with our own eyes. So Musa alayhi salam took them up the mountain. So that mountain is in that area. So Allah Ta'ala just exposed a little bit of his sifat of Qahhar. The sifat of Qahhar, Allah Ta'ala exposed on that mountain. And there is a whole write-up in the tafasir how this took place, how the malaika first came, and all this whole incident, how it took place. And then that like a bolt hit that mountain, and that whole mountain crushed, and all these people became behosh. So, Mufassirin write, the effect of this, the sifat of Allah Ta'ala that came down, the sifat of Qahhar, it affects the people of that area. The people of that area, it's very hard to defeat them. Very hard to defeat them. So you'll read in the history of Sahaba Nawnum also, when it came to all the places, the wars were, Allah Ta'ala is giving them victory. When they came to Misr, it wasn't so easy. When they came to Egypt, it wasn't so easy. So they say that this whole area, this Gaza, Misr, etc., the people there, they are very, you know, Allah Ta'ala has given them a different kind of a strength. And it's the effect of that sifat of Allah Ta'ala that came down on that mountain. That sifat either affects that place there. So when the new Islamic cities in Iraq, such as Basra, Kufa, etc., were laid out, many Yemeni tribes inhabited those areas. And this was done intentionally. It was done intentionally. The Kindar tribe and other tribes from Yemen, they were sent to go and settle in all these areas. A number of other Yemeni tribes also settled in Sham, where they played a major role in the different conquests. A number of them settled in Misr also after the establishing of Fustat. No doubt these organized migrations of Yamani tribes at the time of Umar radiallahu anhu were well planned, and the governors of Yemen played a major role in that planning and in distributing the tribes among the various regions. Hence, Yemen was one of the most important Islamic provinces in the Zamana of Umar radiallahu anhu, and its role and influence in various other provinces are very clear. So now there are many other places, for example, Bahrain, Ala bin Hadrami, radiallahu anhu, he was the governor there in Bahrain. And he participated in many of the early jihads against the Persians. Allah had given him a lot of victories against the Persians. And then a time came, he made a lot of progress. Then Umar radiallahu anhu instructed him that Uthman bin Abil As that see what you must do, you must cooperate with Abu Musa Ash'ari radiallahu anhu. You know, together they started attacking the Persians via Basra. So that was Bahrain, then there's Egypt. Amr bin Al-As radiallahu anhu was the one who led the conquest of Egypt. And this whole section will come, the whole conquest of Egypt, this will come later on in the Kitab, and we discuss it in more detail there. Then you had the provinces of Sham, of Syria. So Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, when he passed away, the one who was responsible for the army and the land of Sham was Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu. When Umar radiallahu anhu became the Khalifa, and he gave an instruction that Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu must step down and Abu Ubaidah bin Jarrah radiallahu ta'ala must be the governor and the leader of that area. That also is very beautiful. You read how this whole thing happened, at what a crucial time, etc. Sahaba nanum is something else, you know. They not like us. Khair, maybe tomorrow we read a little bit more about this, the provinces of Sham. Then we still got Iraq, Persia, Basra, Kufa, Madain and Azerbaijan. I think Azerbaijan is the last one. We'll read tomorrow, inshallah. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ali Sayyidina Muhammad wa barik wa sallim. اللهم ربنا فاغفر لنا ذنوبنا وكفر عنا سيئاتنا وتوفنا مع الأبرار لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك نسألك الجنة ونعوذ بك من النار وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين آمين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.